Welcome to the SEI podcast series, a production of the Carnegie Mellon Software Engineering Institute. The SEI is a federally funded research and development center at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. A transcript of today's podcast is posted on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts. My name is Bill Pollack, and today I am pleased to introduce you to Grace Lewis, Deputy Lead for the SEI's Advanced Mobile Systems Initiative, and technical lead for the Edge-Enabled Tactical Systems Research Team. Her main interests are mobile computing, service-oriented architecture, and cloud computing. Grace has more than 20 years of professional software development experience, mainly in industry. Before joining the SEI, she was Chief of Systems Development for ISESE University, where she served as Project Manager and Technical Lead for the University-Wide Administrative Systems. Welcome, Grace.
Thanks, Bill.
In today's podcast, Grace and I will be discussing her recent technical report, The Role of Standards in Cloud Computing Interoperability. Let's begin by having you tell us what interoperability means in the context of cloud computing.
That's an interesting question because the cloud computing community uses the term interoperability to refer to the ability to easily move workloads and data from one cloud provider to another or between public and private clouds. However, if you think about the definition, that really means portability. And so in this report, to be consistent, we use interoperability in the way the community uses it. And towards the end of the report, there was actually a discussion on what it would mean for true interoperability, which is the ability to exchange information between systems, for example.
I see. So please tell us a little bit about the research described in your report. First of all, why do we need standards in cloud computing interoperability anyway?
The biggest fear is really vendor lock-in. People want to have the freedom to move from one cloud provider to another in case the relationship between them isn't working, service level agreements aren't being met, other providers have better prices, or even if the provider goes out of business, which is not unusual in today's world. If there aren't standards, then moving between providers could be very difficult.
And how are these standards developed?
Well, like most standards, they're being developed by standards bodies, industry groups, or even nonprofit organizations. The problem right now, which is discussed in the report, is that there are way too many standards. And one of the things that I even question in the report is if we really need new standards or whether we can just leverage existing ones.
What are some of the ways that this research could be leveraged by organizations in the DoD and industry?
So the report starts out with a long list of these standards-related efforts that I just talked about. They're very different types of projects. Some focus on standardizing parts of a cloud computing solution, such as like workloads, authentication, and data access. Others focus on standardizing how the parts should probably work together as a solution. And then what the report does is it talks about how some of these standards support what I would call the four typical cloud computing interoperability use cases, which are workload migration, data migration, user authentication, and workload management. There's then a discussion about how, from a use case perspective, the main use cases that really benefit from standardization are the first two, workload migration and data migration, because those are the ones that would really mitigate vendor lock-in concerns. From a more technical standpoint, what this means is that it requires standardization of things such as virtual machine images or APIs for cloud storage. Then the report talks about the three main service models, which are infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, and software as a service, and then how standardization relates to each of these different models. One of the conclusions in the report is that the one that really most benefits from standardization is infrastructure as a service, because the main building blocks are workloads that are represented as VM images and storage units that are just data, whether type data or raw data. And that ties back to the two use cases that I said before, which were workload migration and data migration. Now, platform as a service and software as a service, they benefit less because the use cases are very, very different. When an organization decides to adopt platform as a service or software as a service, they're not just thinking of extending their basic IT resources. They're interested in the value-added features that these organizations provide, whether it's libraries and platforms, in the case of platform as a service, or application software, in the case of software as a service. An organization selects them precisely based on these value-added features. And so what they end up doing is that they end up having a commitment similar to the commitment that you make when you buy any type of software product. And expecting platform as a service providers and software as a service providers to standardize these features would be kind of equivalent to asking an ERP software vendor to standardize all of their features. And this is not going to happen because it's not in their best interest.
I see. So tell us what the future direction is of this research.
So one of the topics of discussion in the report is what areas should we standardize first, especially thinking about all the standards that are out there. Right now, the way that we work, mainly in industry, it's a very manually negotiated process between cloud consumers and providers, where the cloud resources are located and the negotiation is done all at what I would call design time, and then comes the provisioning process. In the report, this is called the first generation of cloud systems. We're starting to support scenarios in which the location and negotiation is done at design time, but the provisioning happens either at design time or runtime, and the actual instantiation happens at runtime. And this is what I call a second generation. An example of something related to this would be a cloud bursting strategy in which developers would design a system for an average load, but then the system automatically can balance out to a cloud provider when it reaches its full capability. The more far-reaching scenarios, or third generation of cloud-based systems, as I call them, all the operations that I talked about before, location, negotiation, provisioning, and instantiation, would happen at runtime. And reaching this third generation of cloud-based systems is probably where most of the research is going to focus. It's not easy because it requires cloud consumers, cloud providers, and software vendor groups to work together to define standardized, self-descriptive, machine-readable representations of things such as basic resource characteristics, which is the size of the resource, the platform, the API. More advanced resource characteristics like pricing and quality attributes, negotiation protocols and processes, billing protocols and processes. So going back to the question about where to start, I think for now standardization really should focus on the basic use cases of user authentication, workload migration, data migration, and workload management, and then use those as a starting point for these more dynamic use cases, in which negotiation, location, all that stuff happens at runtime. And of course, there would have to be a real business need for this more dynamic scenario. I would say, and read the rest of the report to find out more about this question.
Grace, thanks for joining us today. You can download all of our technical reports and notes, including Grace's report, The Role of Standards in Cloud Computing Interoperability, at sei.cmu.edu/library/reports-papers.cfm. This podcast is also available on the SEI website at sei.cmu.edu/podcasts and on Carnegie Mellon University's iTunes U site. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at info@sei.cmu.edu. Thank you.